Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members, that is the members of your body, as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so we can see here what Paul is saying to us. And here he uses the very same word. To present and to yield is the very same word in the original language. In Romans 12 we are told to present our bodies. In Romans chapter 6 we are told to yield every member of the body. God means that we ought to present ourselves, yield ourselves, hand ourselves over completely to God. Every part of our lives into the hands of God. Just as we were singing a few moments ago. Take my life. Take my hands. Take my feet. Take my lips. Take all of me as instruments of righteousness unto God. Hand them over to God. For God to take control of everything in your life to use in whatever way He wishes. So, brother and sister, God is calling upon us today to present our bodies as instruments of righteousness unto Him, every part of us. And you notice here, as we do, that this living sacrifice, our body which we present, it must be holy. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. The body we present to God, and all the members of our body, must be holy. Holy, first of all, in the sense of being pure. And so as you come to God to present yourself to Him, you must come confessing your sins. You must come seeking cleansing in His blood as you offer yourself to God. That you might, in the words of Paul to Timothy, might be purged and sanctified and meet, that is fit for the Master's use. Oh yes, we must be holy. As we offer ourselves to God, we must offer a holy body, a cleansed one, a pure one, that we might be fit for the Master's use. God cannot use filthy vessels. You need to be cleansed as you give yourself to God. You must be holy in the sense of being pure, and you must be holy in the sense of being set apart. For that also means to be holy, set apart for God alone to use. Christ said, no man can serve two masters. And so when we come to present our bodies purified and cleansed to God, and our members as instruments of righteousness, we must yield ourselves to one master alone. We're setting ourselves apart for God alone to use. Brother and sister, as you come to present yourself to God, you must set yourself aside for God alone to use. I'm at God's disposal. And so we're beginning to see here the nature of full surrender. You and I, like any instrument, now in the hand of God, we must be washed. And we must be set aside for God to use. But there are a number of other things that we must bear in mind as we hand this body over. Oh yes, we must be holy. But as we hand ourselves over, we must give ourselves willingly. It's not a matter that we're forced into. We should take the Savior's example. Before He quite literally handed His body over as a living sacrifice, see Him there in the garden alone as He wrestled alone and wept alone in the garden until he came to that place in his own experience, confessed to his Father, "Not my will, but thy will be done." We must give ourselves willingly. And I don't know where you are this morning in your experience with God, but you may have to get alone as the Savior did. You may have to wrestle for a moment or two. You may have to shed a tear or two until God brings you to that place also in your experience where you will say to Him, "Not my will, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." And so in this matter of full surrender, we must give ourselves willingly. God's not forcing you into this, but you must give yourself willingly. We must give ourselves sacrificially. It is, after all, as you notice here, a living sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. As we present our bodies to God, it is a living sacrifice. It will cost you to give what you have to God. You may have to move out of comfort zone. You may have to do things that will cost you. When Old Testament believers chose a sacrifice, they went out into the field and they looked through their flock of sheep for the very best. Oh, they knew it would cost them. God wouldn't accept the lame or the blind or the torn. God would only accept the best. It would cost them the very best. And you know, brother and sister, this is what makes our sacrifice acceptable unto God. We may not have very much to give. You may feel that you have very little to give. But God wants you to give your best. Doesn't ask anything more of you. You've got to search through your life and you've got to give God your very best. Oh, it may cost, and as we look over the history of time and the history of the church, we can see men and women who fully surrender to God and it cost them. It meant hardship. It meant suffering. Yes, even some of our forefathers, it meant the very loss of their own lives. Quite literally, they gave their bodies as a sacrifice for the cause of Christ. And so we must give ourselves willingly. We must give ourselves sacrificially. We must give ourselves unconditionally. No conditions. Brother and sisters, you come to present your body and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. No conditions. No strings attached. No underhand bargains. We must give ourselves unconditionally. As someone has put it, you must just sign a blank sheet and give that sheet to God. A blank sheet. No conditions. No reservations. Bringing it to the Lord. Fill it in. Lord, fill it in. My name is at the bottom. I've signed this blank sheet. Now, whatever you want me to do, fill in the details. Whatever your will is for my life, whatever way you want me to go, fill it in. I surrender all. Is that what you're saying this morning? I'm going to give myself willingly. I'm going to give myself sacrificially. I'm going to give myself unconditionally. We must give ourselves completely. That is every part. Not just most of it. All of it. Nothing withheld from God. Fully surrendered. Perhaps some of you have heard of F.B. Meyer. He was a great friend of D.L. Moody, great evangelist and author of many Christian books. Man who gave a lot of his time and a lot of his talents to the Lord. We're told how he once struggled alone with God. And as he put it, he was willing to hand over all the keys of every room in his life but one. There was one room still closed to God. And he held on to that key. And he wouldn't give it to God. And he wrestled. And he sought the Lord. Until God gave him the grace to hand over that last key. Here's the last key, he says to the Lord, to the very last room, the very last part of my life. Take it all. Brother and sister, are we willing to give ourselves completely, every room, every key to every room, everything in every room, everything to God? He can use me, everything that I have, fully surrendered, completely. And we must give ourselves also enthusiastically. Take a look back at chapter 6 of Romans again, where Paul speaks of yielding your members as instruments of righteousness. You notice in verse 13, as he urges these brethren to yield themselves, he says in verse 19 of chapter 6, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness. In other words, just as you yielded yourself and gave yourself to the things of the world, even so now throw yourself into the things of God. Just in the very same way, enthusiastically. I want you to throw yourself into the things of God, into the service of the Lord, just the way the world would throw themselves into the things of the world. And we have watched men and women in the world. We have watched them rise early in the morning. We've watched them as they got their nose to the grinding stone. We have watched them as they pursued the things of the world. Perhaps you remember the time you did so. Remember in your old life when you gave yourself to the things of the world and the enthusiasm. It mattered to you. And brother and sister, it matters even more now that we should throw ourselves into the service of the Lord. That we should give ourselves to God completely. We did it when we were in the world. Surely God deserves it now when we're in His service. Give yourself enthusiastically. And we must give ourselves immediately. Now's the time. Not next week. Not next year. Not when you have certain plans fulfilled in your life. And you might say, well, I have this to do, and I have that to do, and all my plans will be upset. Just give me time. Is there someone here? And that's what you're saying. Just give me time. Oh yes, I understand. I must give myself willingly, sacrificially, unconditionally, completely, enthusiastically, but I'll do it later. Let me ask you this morning, do you know better than God? Can you handle your life better than God? Is God going to do you any harm? Of course not. Or you might say, but I have failed in the past. I'm fearful. I'm frustrated. I'm weary. I'm weary with so many things. Let me say to you, just hand it all over to God. Everything. Your fears, your feelings, your frustrations, your fatigue, yourself, everything. Immediately, now, today, in this meeting, I surrender all. And He'll wash you, He'll strengthen you, He'll fit you, He'll fill you for every challenge. If you just come as you are. And then there's one more thing. We must give ourselves regularly. To yield in Romans 6, it's not a single action. If you were to read it in the original Greek, it means to keep on yielding. Yield yourself and keep on yielding yourself, your members, unto God. Yes, as you rise in the morning, as you face every day, as you face every challenge in life, come again. Lord, I come to Thee again. It's another day. I have to face another day. But I come again, just as I am. I come to Thee. I come to give my all to Thee. I come to give Thee myself to Thee alone. Oh, wash me and fit me. Take me all, the best that I have. I give myself willingly. I give myself sacrificially. I give myself unconditionally, completely, enthusiastically, immediately, and I come again. Is that what you're going to do? Oh, that we might be challenged. Such is the nature of full surrender. God is waiting. Can you run through these matters? Can you tick all the boxes? Will you not now give yourself to God? Are you willing to pay the price? Give yourself the best that you have, all that you have, unto God today. The nature of full surrender. But notice, secondly, here, the argument for full surrender. Someone might say, perhaps you're saying this morning, well, the price is too high. I can't afford to surrender all. But there are a number of things, brother and sister, you must bear in mind that may help you to see why you cannot just say that. First of all, God has paid a price for you. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. And here in the context, Paul is speaking about the use of our body and the abuse of our body. And he says in the verse 19 to the Corinthians, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Ye are not your own, he says to these believers. Your body, which we have been speaking about, that ought to be presented unto God. It belongs to God. He paid a great price for you. Christ shed His blood on the cross to redeem you, to save you from your sins and from eternal punishment. God has every right to His own property. Don't you agree? He has every right to His own property. He has paid the price for you. You belong to God. And yet there are so many, I fear, who are in the business of withholding from God. And of course, this wouldn't be tolerated in any other walk of life. For example, if you bought a house, you'd expect to have all of the house. Every room in the house, the backyard, the front garden, everything, all. You have paid the price. You wouldn't settle for less. And yet, I'm afraid there are so many who have settled to give less to God. You can't do that. Ye are not your own. Brother and sister, listen, if this is all you remember from this meeting, ye are not your own. You've been bought with a price. All of you for God, for His own use and for His own glory. And also God paid this great price for undeserving sinners. Notice how Paul pleads with his brethren here in our text. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How does he plead? On what basis? By the mercies of God. Using the mercies of God as a basis for his argument, he calls upon them to present themselves. And there are many mercies which God has shown to us in Christ, and we don't have time to look at them here in the previous chapters. He speaks about his sovereign mercy. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And he speaks about his mercy being extended from the Jews to include the rest of the world, you and me. Oh, he has shown us so many mercies. Brother and sister, we are all living testimonies to God's sovereign, unearned mercy. Why he showed his mercy to you and me, it is a mystery. After all that we have done, in our days when we were unsaved, and even in our saved days, why he ever chose us, set his love upon us, why he ever sent his son to die for us to pay the price for our salvation, why he ever reached us, why he ever takes us, why he ever offers to use us is a mystery. But that is God's mercy. And with all of these mercies in view, Paul says to the Roman brethren, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. If nothing else, but the thought of God's mercies, it ought to stir us to full surrender. All that he has done for us and the price that he has paid for the so undeserving should move us to fully surrender to him. Look at how Paul underlines this at the end of verse 1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the word here, reasonable, is the same word from which we get the word logic. So Paul is saying here, this is logical. I'm speaking to you here about something which is simple, which is logical, which is reasonable. If someone has been good to you, and you know you haven't deserved it, and they've done nothing but show you one favour after another, week after week, year after year, then surely the natural thing for us would be to do all that you can for them in return. Oh, let this be a challenge to us, brother and sister. And not only to us as children of God, but also to you who are still in your sins. After all that God has done for you in sending his Son and paying the price for your salvation and the life that He has given you and the time that He has given you, yet you still remain in your sins. You still refuse to turn to Him for salvation. You still rebel against Him after all that He has done and all the offers of mercy. And dear child of God, who should know much better, who should know better, who should know better, after all that God has given to you in Christ, oh, we ought to think of nothing else. We ought to think of nothing less than giving all we have to Him. That is how one great pioneer missionary, C.T. Studd, felt when he said, his famous words, "If Christ be God's Son and He died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to do for Him." That's reasonable. That is why we call upon you, brother and sister, this morning to full surrender. This is what ought to move us in the matter of full surrender. Surely, as objects of God's sovereign, unearned mercy, we ought to think of nothing else than to fully surrender ourselves to God. But notice in closing here the outcome of full surrender. What happens in the life of the man or woman who is fully surrendered unto God? The exercise of full surrender leads us into a fuller knowledge of God's will. Notice what it says here when he speaks in verse 1 concerning full surrender. In verse 2 he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." If you fully surrender yourself to God, then you will prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. That man or woman who is fully surrendered to God will be directed by God. And thank God this morning, when we let go and let God take control, then the way will open up before you. I believe that. Do you believe that? God will lead us in a perfect path. There's nothing to be afraid of. God will lead us into a fuller knowledge of His will. Brother and sister, as we close, you might say, "Well, all right. All right, I can see that there's no other option. I belong to God. I'm an object of His mercy. I owe everything to Him. I want to surrender all to Him. But what if God wants me to do something that I can't?" Well, the answer is very simple. Look at how Paul prepares his brethren for this challenge at the end of the previous chapter in verse 33. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" His ways are past finding out. And so, brother and sister, we make a mistake, a terrible mistake, when we try to work out things in our own minds, these puny minds, before we take the step of full surrender. We want to work everything out. And we think we can work out the mind of God, but we can't. We ought to simply accept God knows what He is doing, and let go and let God. Remember the widow woman? All she had was a little cake. And she said to God's servant, I can't give that. That's all I have. And I'm going to eat this cake and then I'm going to die. But God gave her grace to give over everything she had. And you know what? God never let her down. The barrel of meal never failed. The oil, the cruse of oil never wasted. Remember Hannah? She prayed and prayed for years for a child. Samuel came. But also the time to give him away came. And she gave away the love of her life. She could have argued, how am I going to cope with this? But you know, God never let her down. Because just after that, he gave her another 5 children. Oh, brother and sister, you'll never lose out. God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. God will never let you down. Who knows what is in store for you? If only you would surrender all. This morning, as we close this meeting, willingly, sacrificially, unconditionally, completely, enthusiastically, immediately, oh, that you might surrender all.